Chapter 8. Should You Ever Punish? Sometimes when you're training, punishment, positive punishment, where the dog's behavior makes a bad thing happen, may be appropriate. But those times should be very few and far between. Since I started using positive reinforcement training, I have only had to use positive punishment with a dog on a rare occasion. And I considered those incidents a failure on my part because I was unable to devise a positive solution to a serious problem. In a crisis, I might explode with a deafening no to interrupt a behavior that is risking someone's life or safety. But even though a loud no is a verbal reprimand, it can very much be considered positive punishment, and therefore risks the same negative side effects that physical punishment does. I much prefer to use negative punishment, in which the dog's behavior makes a good thing go away to change an unwelcome behavior. The most notable example of my reluctant application of positive punishment involved a client's pit bull mix who was very dedicated to chasing horses. Happy's owners, an elderly couple, found him abandoned by the side of the road at the tender age of 5 weeks. They had briefly attended a traditional training class, but dog and owners were so offended by the forceful choke chain methods used in the class that they dropped out. 3 years later, Happy was totally out of control. A series of private positive reinforcement lessons with dog and owners, however, quickly taught Happy his basic good manners. Before long, he was greeting visitors without bowling them over, sitting without even being asked, lying down on cue, waiting politely for his frisbee to be tossed instead of grabbing it out of the thrower's hand, and coming when he was called, most of the time. Happy loved to chase horses, though. About once a month, his desire to chase outweighed his response to the cue to come. He would duck under the electric fence and have a gay time terrorizing the occupants of the pasture. Not only was this stressful to the horses, but it was also dangerous to Happy, as flying horse heels whizzed past his head. One day, I was at Happy's house, working with his owners on his training. It had been several weeks since Happy had chased a horse, and we were hopeful that we were making progress. But suddenly, he took off after the herd, and, sure enough, this time he got kicked squarely in the head. He fell to the ground, motionless, and I was sure he was dead. The three of us began running toward the pasture. Before we reached Happy, he lifted his head, shook it, stood up, and began staggering toward us. Okay, I thought to myself. He's not dead, but he has permanent brain damage. Happy kept walking, and by the time he reached us, his stride was steadier. In 10 minutes, he was still a bit subdued, but otherwise seemed fine. A trip to the vet confirmed that he had suffered a concussion, but, by some incredible good fortune, nothing more serious. What a relief! Certainly, getting knocked unconscious by a horse was perfectly timed and appropriate enough punishment to forestall any future horse-chasing ventures. Or so we thought. Several weeks went by without incident, and we were all sure that Happy had kicked the horse-chasing habit, until, on another of my visits, Happy went horse hunting again. We all agreed that we had to find a way to stop him. This was truly a life-saving intervention, not just the threat of an impatient owner who might dump his dog at the animal shelter if we didn't find a quick fix. Happy was going to get himself killed if he kept chasing horses. It just so happened that Happy was gun-shy. A firing range was located a distance from Happy's house, and whenever someone was target practicing, even though the gunshots were quite muffled, he would head lickety-split for the front porch. We decided to try using this to our advantage. I purchased a cap gun at a toy store, loaded it with caps, and waited for the moment. True to form, several weeks later, Happy gave us the chance. As we were returning from a training session in a nearby field, he spotted the horses. His head went up, his eyes sparkled, he perked up his ears, and he took off like a bullet. I pulled out the cap gun and waited, Just as he ducked under the wire into the pasture, I fired. Happy wheeled in his tracks and dashed for the porch, where he sat glued to the floor until we joined him. It was the first time that we had succeeded in stopping him mid-charge. We were hopeful. Properly applied positive punishment should work within one or two applications. Anything more than that isn't doing the job and constitutes abuse. We didn't want to continuously use the cap gun to stop his charges after the horses. We wanted it to stop the behavior completely, quickly. I left the gun with his owners, and we all crossed our fingers. They only had to use it one more time. Twice was enough to convince Happy to leave the horses alone forever. Mission accomplished. Am I pleased that we found a way to keep Happy safe? Of course I am. Do I wish I had found a way to do it without capitalizing on his noise phobia? Absolutely. To this day, I ask myself if there wasn't another, more positive way to accomplish our goal. I constantly bring Happy's case history up at trainer forums and on email lists. I wonder if we could have succeeded with Leslie Nelson's really reliable recall. I am convinced that there was a positive way to do it. I just couldn't find it at the time. There may be very rare occasions when some reasonable form of positive punishment is appropriate. But it should only be used after great deliberation, and only after all possible dog-friendly methods have been tried and ruled out. In the last two decades, a wealth of resources have become available to owners and dog training professionals who are looking for positive solutions to training challenges, including internet listservs, books, videos, DVDs, and training organizations and support groups. Reasonable, by the way, rules out the use of electric shock collars, hanging, helicoptering, and any other cruel technique that risks mental or physical damage to the dog. Appropriate occasions are few and far between, and they are, I believe, an admission of failure on the part of a positive trainer. Having said that, let's get on with the rest of the book, in which I offer positive reinforcement training methods and solutions, sprinkled lightly with gentle applications of benign negative punishment, and I studiously avoid any more discussion of the use of force.